Sons. From Pacifica Radio, this is Democracy Now! More than 1,000 people have gathered in Philadelphia as the case of Mumia Abu-Jamal once again goes to court. Today, a special. All that and more coming up on Democracy Now! Welcome to Democracy Now! I'm Amy Goodman. At airtime right now, the Reverend Al Sharpton is just about to be released from the Brooklyn Detention Center. He is completing a 90-day sentence for trespassing on the Puerto Rican island of Vieques to protest U.S. military bombing exercises. This news from Bogota, Colombia. The Colombian government announced yesterday that President Andres Pastrana has signed legislation giving the military broad new powers to wage war with less scrutiny from government investigators. Human rights groups condemn Pastrana for signing a law they say will lead to fresh abuses by a Colombian military already criticized at home and abroad for having the hemisphere's worst human rights record. The United States, through its $1.3 billion aid package, has been a strong supporter of the Colombian military. D.C. police plan to use 9-foot-high fencing to cordon off most of the area around the White House, the World Bank, and the International Monetary Fund to restrict protesters on the final weekend of September. Executive Assistant Police Chief Terrence W. Gaynor yesterday said the plan, although not complete, was to enclose a section of the city with higher fencing than ever used before in the Capitol. The steel hurricane fencing set in Jersey barriers would cost about $1.8 million of the $30 million that officials have requested from the White House. Protesters decried police plans as a waste of taxpayer money and a ploy to paint protesters as violent hooligans. Mara Verheiden-Hilliard, a lawyer for the protesters, said, "We believe police should not be turning to Washington, D.C. into a police state. If we pride ourselves on having a democracy and having democratic freedoms, we should not carve out sections of the city." The U.S. government has said it's considering walking away from an international amendment which forbids rich countries from dumping toxic industrial and other waste in poor countries. While the 15-member European Union has ratified the amendment, as have 16 other countries, including China, Ecuador, and Panama, critics say the United States has not only never supported the ban, but has sought to have it rejected or weakened. Critics also contend trade in waste has had disastrous consequences. In 1988, for example, a cargo ship dumped 4,000 tons of hazardous incinerator ash from the U.S. city of Philadelphia onto a beach outside the Haitian port city of Gonaïves. The ash, which contained toxic heavy metals such as lead and cadmium, contaminated the soil in Gonaïves, according to the Haitian environmental group COPEDA. Some of the ash was later taken to another town. Several workers hired to transport the toxic materials have since died. They had not been provided protective masks, gloves, or boots. Many reportedly suffered skin lesions and eyesight problems. After much pressure from COPEDA and U.S. environmentalists, the waste was shipped back to the United States last year. As of April, it was still sitting on a barge off the coast of Florida. Negotiations on stiffening a ban on biological weapons are due to end today with a decision by major powers to continue the talks despite Washington's rejection of the current text. The decision would set the stage for a high-level conference on the 1972 Biological and Toxin Weapons Conventions being held in November and December to formally extend the mandate. This would continue an arduous 6-year bid to set up an enforcement regime for carrying out on-site inspections of military and biotech sites. The Cold War-era pact bans germ and toxin weapons, including anthrax, but lacks teeth. The Bush administration dashed hopes of clinching a verification agreement when it announced last month that the current draft protocol on the negotiating table was unfixable. Congressional investigators charged in a report made public yesterday that the U.S. military appeared to be exaggerating the burden of maintaining aging Cold War military equipment in its push for new arms. The Congressional Budget Office conceded that many ships and aircraft could be replaced, but that its findings were in conflict with the service's statements that spending on operations and maintenance for equipment is growing rapidly. It went on to say CBO finds no evidence that there's been cost growth in total operations and maintenance spending because of aging equipment. Pentagon officials challenged the report. An American lawyer suing Bayer AG over its recalled Bayqol drug announced today he would try to expand the suit to cases worldwide and had included GlaxoSmithKline in the action. He said this is probably going to be one of the largest litigation matters in pharmaceutical history. British-based Glaxo co-markets the cholesterol-lowering drug in the United States. Bayer withdrew it on August 8th because of potentially fatal side effects. Separately, Bayer said it expected the number of deaths reported to have occurred while patients were taking the drug to rise to more than 52. And this just in, the Reverend Al Sharpton has just been released.
Would I harbor you? Would you harbor me? Would I harbor you? Would you harbor a Christian, a Muslim, a Jew, a convict or spy? Would you harbor a runaway woman or child, a poet, a prophet, a king? Would you harbor an exile or a refugee, a person living with AIDS? Would you harbor a Tubman, a Garrett, a truth, a fugitive, or a slave? Would you harbor a Haitian, Korean, or Czech, a lesbian, or a gay? Would you harbor a Christian, a Muslim, a Jew, a heretic, convict, or spy? Would you harbor a runaway woman or child, a poet, a prophet, a king?
Or Democracy Now!, Resistance Radio. I'm Amy Goodman. That was Would You Harbor Me? From Sweet Honey in the Rocks, Sacred Ground. Well, it looks like Mumia Abu-Jamal won't be in court today with his new lawyers as they make their courtroom debut in his last-ditch state appeal, but police are expecting more than 1,000 of his supporters. Abu-Jamal will remain in a western Pennsylvania prison for the status conference in Philadelphia Common Pleas Court, much to the chagrin of his lawyers and supporters who were hoping for his first court appearance in 4 years. Attorney Marlene Kamish said yesterday, it's tremendously important that he be here. Abu-Jamal was convicted and sentenced to death for the December 1981 shooting death of Philadelphia police officer Daniel Faulkner. His jailhouse writings have attracted worldwide attention, from celebrities to death penalty opponents to foreign politicians and grassroots activists around the world. Officials have reserved 40 seats in the courtroom for Faulkner's supporters, 40 for Abu-Jamal's, and 20 for the media. Spectators with tickets will have to pass through a checkpoint outside the third-floor courtroom, and a large contingent of sheriff's deputies will keep order inside. Meanwhile, Philadelphia police will be out in force to make sure the planned demonstration runs smoothly. The protesters say they'll occupy a city hall plaza and a sidewalk across the street and shut down at least one lane of traffic. There will be a sufficient amount of police there to protect people and protect property, said Captain William Fisher, commanding officer of the Civil Affairs Unit. It could be the largest rally of Abu Jamal supporters in Philadelphia since April 1999, when 8,000 activists converged on the city. Previous protests largely have been peaceful. Philadelphia Common Pleas Judge Pamela Demby had asked that Abu Jamal be brought to Philadelphia from a state prison in Greene County, but a city official decided there was no room for him in the city's overcrowded jails. All sorts of people are expected to descend on Philadelphia, from New York to Chicago to France, with celebrities such as Ossie Davis, as well as people from Rage Against the Machine, Jesse Jackson, and others. Abu Jamal's attorneys asked the judge to find the official in contempt of court, but the judge denied the request Wednesday without holding a hearing. The decision to keep Abu Jamal away from Philadelphia has galvanized activists who complain he's being denied his rights. Suzanne Ross, co-chair of the New York-based Free Mumia Abu Jamal Coalition, said people are just so outraged. People couldn't believe the state of Pennsylvania once again so openly violated the rights of somebody on death row. Today's hearing centers on Mumia Abu Jamal's request for a second post-conviction hearing. Abu Jamal lost his first round of state appeals, but his latest petition argues that the defense has new evidence to clear him, including a confession by a man named Arnold Beverly. In a 1999 affidavit, Beverly said he was hired by the mob to kill Faulkner because a 25-year-old officer had interfered with mob payoffs to police. But last month, U.S. District Judge William H. Yon refused to order Beverly to testify on Abu Jamal's behalf. Judge Demby is also expected to decide whether to accept Abu Jamal's new legal team. Mumia Abu Jamal fired his longtime attorneys, Leonard Weinglass and Dan Williams, in May after Williams published a book about the case. The new lawyers, Elliot Lee Grossman, Marlene Kamish, British barrister Nicholas Brown, and J. Michael Farrell of Philadelphia. We go now to Philadelphia, to Pam Africa, coordinator of the International Concern, Family and Friends of Mumia Abu Jamal. Pam, do you expect to see Mumia in court?
Amy, you know, we're really not sure, you know, because like on July 27th, Judge Pamela Demby issued a court order to have Mumia brought down. That following week in the city newspaper, the sheriff, Captain Fisher, of Civil Affairs stated when Mumia would be brought into court, and he'd be brought from the prison with extra sheriffs and SWAT teams and so forth and so on. Then Monday, you know, on the top of all the news, it was the head leading story on all the media that Mumia wouldn't be brought in because of the prison overcrowding and they didn't have room. Wednesday, Mumia's attorneys filed a suit to Judge Pamela Demby to have the court administrator held in contempt and the prison officials held in contempt, basically behind the fact these are the people who issued the stop to bring Mumia order in. It was not an order that was issued by the judge to stop Mumia from coming in. What we found out when the lawyers went before her was that she did not hold them in contempt for not obeying her order, but at the same time, she did not say that she wasn't bringing Mumia in. She didn't pull back her order. So, you know, we're not sure whether this is a ploy, you know, like to throw people off that Mumia's not coming or whatever. But one thing I can tell you, you know, it sends shockwaves around the world, you know, because here's a man who's been definitely denied due process and all for 20 years, and thinking that he's coming to court and all so that he can present why he, you know, needs these new attorneys and the fact of why he need a post-conviction hearing, and for them to deny him that and say that, you know, see, we don't even know whether they're going to accept his attorneys. Let me tell you, What's being done here today is to determine whether or not the city will accept, the state will accept Mumia's attorneys in the court, and whether or not they will give Mumia a post-conviction hearing. So for all these things, Mumia need to be made, be there to appear, because can't nobody explain to this judge better than Mumia why he need these attorneys, you know, and why he need a post-conviction hearing. So, you know, people are, like, really outraged. I'm saying Jesse Jackson, who had something else to do, canceled what he had to do to come into town. Dick Gregory is coming in. Ozzie Davis is coming in. The mayors of different cities in France and our heads of unions and our, and the list, it just gets bigger and bigger. And at one point, we only had about 5 buses coming out of New York. I think we have 12 buses coming out of New York when the people, churches heard about what happened in North Carolina. They immediately got a bus and told people to get on the bus for free.
I want to thank you very much, Pam Africa, for being with us. I know you're racing or off to court, so thanks for taking the time to be on Democracy Now!
Thanks a lot, Amy.
Thank you, Pam.
You know, and I really hope, you know, with all my heart, that you continue to stay there, and because you are such an asset and all to the world, and all because, I mean, you know, not only do people in the United States know about your broadcast and all, but people also know you outside there, and I would do anything and all to help ensure that, you know, you stay on the air. So the best of luck, and just like we fight for Mumia, we'll fight to keep you on the air too. Thank you, Amy. Bye.
Pam Africa, thank you for being with us. Coordinator of the International Concern Family and Friends of Mumia Abu-Jamal, speaking to us from Philadelphia. And now we turn to a news conference that took place yesterday outside the Philadelphia Inquirer with a delegation from France. It was led by Julia Wright, the daughter of the well-known writer Richard Wright. Julia Wright is a writer in her own right.
Yesterday, I was sitting in Washington Airport, and I was watching the number of my flight. My flight was UA 1976, and it was leaving at 10 o'clock. And that meant 1976, resumption of executions. We're nearly 1,000 executions into Barbary. I thought, what will be the third coincidence? I turned around, and in the seat behind me, a young Asian boy of about 12 was reading Native Son, the story of Bigger Thomas. So I knew we were in the right place and the right time. Now, I want to tell you that we have such a strong delegation here, the strongest we've ever had from France and Europe. We have a mayor of a city that adopted Mumia as honorary citizen, Bernard Bersinger.
Yes.
We have two very young municipal advisors, municipal councilors of cities that adopted Mumia as honorary citizen. We have the presence of a writer who's in touch with the City Hall of Paris, so that Mumia will soon be adopted honorary citizen of France. We have a lot of young people in our delegation. We also have a letter from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of France. That is American State Department, right? And if I open it, this is what it says, and I kept it for this press conference. We have informed our embassy in Washington that they are to send somebody high placed to monitor the hearing tomorrow, 17th of August. There will be a high official from the French embassy in Washington. He will monitor the proceedings. And he will account to the French government, but not only the French government, the European Parliament, the European Council. And on his recommendations, you will witness the reaction of Europe. So that, as Mumia says, this is surely the epicenter. Thank you.
Julia Wright, author, writer, well-known advocate for Mumia Abu-Jamal and daughter of Richard Wright, author of Native Son and other books, speaking yesterday outside of the Philadelphia Inquirer, where a press conference was held. When we return from our break, we will hear from the daughter of Franz Fanon, who also came across the ocean to support Mumia Abu-Jamal on this day of his court hearing. Then we're going to go to a documentary about Mumia Abu-Jamal called Beyond Reasonable Doubt. We also will hear the first words of Al Sharpton as he has just been freed from a jail for his protests against the bombing of Vieques. You're listening to Democracy Now! Back in a minute.
You are tuned to 94.1 KPFA or KPFB in Berkeley or KFCF in Fresno. It's 9:20. Stay tuned today at noon for Living Room.
Listening to Democracy Now!, the exception to the rulers. Today we're broadcasting from DCTV, Downtown Community Television, a community TV and broadcast center in the outskirts of Chinatown. I'm Amy Goodman. And today, Mumia Abu-Jamal, another court hearing, but to the chagrin of many of his supporters, and particularly his new lawyers, it looks like he will not be allowed in court today. Yesterday, his supporters held a news conference, and among those who spoke was the daughter of Franz Fanon, who just come over from France. Her name is Mireille Mendez France.
She's also from France. Her name is Mireille Mendez France, and she's the daughter of another very well-known international hero, Franz Fanon. Mireille Mendez France.
Bonjour. Excuse me, I don't speak in English because I'm a little tired. Can you translate for me, please? Peut-être, j'essaie en anglais, mais...
You try.
Be here today for Mumia Abu-Jamal is very important for all of people who believe in a truth, in a justice, and we believe in freedom. And all people will struggle against death penalty all over in the world, but also against racial justice. And to be here is to say, be with Mumia, is be with all people who are in jail now. I know their country, in this country, but also in France, because we have a racial justice, we have a racial system. And je continue en français.
Yes.
Je suis trop fatiguée. Je veux plus. Et il est très important à l'heure où la justice se pose en termes aussi de mondialisation. Que le combat,
and at a time of a globalization,
que le combat que nous menons ici pour Mumia, que les gens prennent bien conscience que ce n'est pas un combat pour un homme seulement, c'est le combat aussi de tous les hommes qui sont dans la même situation que Mumia.
People have to be aware that it's not only a struggle for Mumia, but for all of prisoners and all of the people who are in the same situation.
Parce que mettre un homme en prison sous de faux prétextes, construire un faux procès avec de fausses preuves, suborner les témoins.
Because all that happened around the Mumia trial, you know, with the witnesses and all that have been made up around the case.
c'est aussi mettre en prison des gens qui se battent au quotidien contre le racisme.
It means to jail all the people fighting against racism.
C'est éteindre la voix des personnes qui luttent pour une autre conception du monde.
It's to kill, you know, the people who have the voice for every other.
C'est mettre en prison des gens qui veulent être debout, qui veulent que les autres soient debout, et c'est nous maintenir.
It is to jail people who are fighting for this kind of struggle.
Et c'est aussi penser que l'on veut qu'une partie du monde peut continuer à dominer une autre partie du monde.
And it's also to think that a part of the world is stronger than the other part of the world.
Et c'est aussi pour, c'est pour cela que nous sommes là avec cette délégation française, que nous sommes là ici avec les gens de Philadelphie, les gens des États-Unis.
That's why we are here together, you know, the French delegation, to support Mumia supporters in Philly.
And it's very important to be with you and de d'être là et de continuer à se battre.
And to be here and keep on struggling.
C'est un combat qui nous concerne tous.
And it's struggle for every one of us.
Et nous espérons bien que demain permettra qu'un nouveau procès soit ouvert pour Mumia.
And we are waiting for a new trial for Mumia to be open.
Et que les différents éléments qui apportent un éclairage autre soient acceptés.
And all the new facts would be accepted by the court.
Mais parler de Mumia, pour finir, parler de Mumia, c'est parler de nous tous.
And talking about Mumia is talking about every of us.
Et tant qu'il y aura comme cela dans le monde, des cas comme ce
as long as there we have people like Mumia,
nous ne ferons pas, et nous serons
we would
toujours,
never shut up. We will always be here.
Et nous serons là et nous serons toujours sur le chemin.
We will always be here on
Merci.
The way.
Merci.
And that was Marie Mendez France, the daughter of Franz Fanon, has come over from France to be here for the court hearing of Mumia Abu-Jamal, which is underway as we broadcast from the historic firehouse, D.C. Community Television, DCTV, in Chinatown. And you are listening to Democracy Now! As we go now to a documentary that was done several years ago about Mumia Abu-Jamal's case. It was done at a time when Len Wineglass was still Mumia Abu-Jamal's attorney. After this documentary, or excerpts of it, we'll be broadcasting to you the words of Al Sharpton, just out of jail after 90 days for the protesting for the bombing of Vieques.
Open up your eyes, eyes, eyes. If for me you're dying, dying, dying. If for me you're dying, dying, dying. Open up your eyes, eyes, eyes. If for me you're dying.
You are listening to Pacifica Radio's Democracy Now! I'm Amy Goodman. Little attention has been paid to the actual trial of Mumia Abu-Jamal, the former Black Panther and former head of the Philadelphia chapter of the National Association of Black Journalists. What actually happened on the night of December 9th, 1981? What hard evidence implicates Mumia Abu-Jamal in the murder of police officer Daniel Faulkner? And why did Abu-Jamal receive the death penalty? Today we're going to hear extended excerpts from a video documentary entitled Mumia Abu-Jamal, A Case for Reasonable Doubt. It was originally made by Otmore Productions and aired on Channel 4 in Britain and then in this country on HBO, specially adapted for radio by Noel Hanrahan of the Prison Radio Project based in San Francisco. It features exclusive interviews with the prosecutor, ballistic and forensic experts, plus an interview with an eyewitness of the events at 13th and Locust in Philadelphia on the night of December 9th, 1981. Mumia Abu-Jamal, A Case for Reasonable Doubt.
My name is Mumia Abu-Jamal. I'm a journalist, a husband, a father, a grandfather, and an African-American. I live in the fastest-growing public housing tract in America. In 1981, I was a reporter for WUHY and president of the Philadelphia Association of Black Journalists. Currently, I'm a writer and a public radio commentator. I've been a resident on Pennsylvania's death row for 11 years. Tune in to hear my regular reports from Death Row. This is Mumia Abu-Jamal on your public radio station.
That recording was withdrawn from broadcast on National Public Radio after protests by the police. It was recorded by a man who faces death by execution. While a number of people believe this sentence is just,